my knapsack on my back. Valerie, 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 my knapsack.
Have you here back in the radio room where you once were years ago? Back where you worked in the radio room, along yes. with some friends we'll talk about later. And today, what's going to happen today?
What's that?
What's going to happen today with you?
Well, I'll mention a few of the characters that were here, and I'll preface that with this opening. I'll preface that with this opening remark. In Brooklyn, being a character is a compliment. You don't have a plain vanilla personality. You are unique. What I would like to see here in Holly Creek are some more unique characters, and we have some. And we'll talk about some of them who have passed on, and I miss them.
You have some of your own writings we're going to read. You're going to read
right.
shortly. But first, you are the man with a very charming Brooklyn accent.
Oh, I'll tell you, some of the people in Brooklyn, I used to spend my summers, or a lot of my summers, up in Canada. My mother was from a family farm about 80 miles north of Ottawa, the capital. And I picked up a bit of their inflections and their twang, and some of the Brooklyn people, when I came back, and tell me that I talk funny.
Oh, so you wanted to keep your Brooklyn
Jack,
accent.
Jack, you talk funny. Well, they have it, as I recall, in the Ottawa Valley, they have an expression that's, hey, isn't that right, eh? You know, isn't that wrong, eh? Or what are you thinking about, eh? And I would interject that into some of my conversation. I say, hey.
Then you knew you were with friends.
What's that?
Then you knew you were with friends, if you could hear that little thing
right,
on the end.
Right.
Well, what did you do when you were in New York, when you went to college there? Tell us about your education in New York, and what did you do when you completed that education?
Yeah, I ended up, of course, I went to grade school, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, all boys high school. Then I went to Fordham University School of Law and finished that in 1961. And that's when after the summer was over in 61, I came out here to Colorado looking for jobs. Yeah, I spent a couple of months here, ran through my money, and at Christmas time went back to New York. And while I was in New York, I got two job offers. One from a government agency called the Securities and Exchange Commission, and one from a Denver private oil and gas firm. And I accepted the government job and stayed with them for 34 years.
And that was in Denver?
Here in Denver, yeah.
What type of lawyer were you?
What's that?
What type of lawyer were you?
I investigated securities fraud and occasionally had to go to court to close down some operations, or we used to call them temporary restraining orders, brokerage firms and things like that.
And you enjoyed going to court.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. The highlight of my career, we had a pre-interview. The highlight of my career was in a performance. I shouldn't say performance. It was an appearance before an appellate judge tribunal, the Circuit Court of Appeals in Los Angeles. And that was, I'd say, the highlight of my career, going back and arguing this conviction case. I had worked the investigation, and I had participated in the trial as like a backup and a guy who knew what was supposedly knew what was going on. And the assistant U.S. attorney, to my surprise, told me that I could go argued the appeal after the conviction of five defendants. I don't know why he did it, but I was happy as hell to go back. And I did. And I did argue the case.
You're pretty good at arguing?
I did a little bit of arguing, yeah. I had a little bit of a tete-a-tete. One of the judges was a woman named Susan Hockfelder. And this is back in, I don't know, 1986 or something like that, maybe a little later. About any time that there was an opening on the Supreme Court, she was always named as perhaps the first woman to be nominated to the Supreme Court. And what I remember about the argument is something that I cannot reconcile with the situation. She asked me, she said, Mr. Kelly, when Mr. Luke, which was the defendant, when he became aware of the fraud that was going on, should he have called you? Is that why you charged him? I said, no. I said, but he shouldn't have continued working there. And she acquitted him. Well, I say she was joined in her opinion, of course, by the other judges. Jenny, there's five judges on the appeal court. I don't know how many voted, but anyway, enough voted. He was acquitted. And to this day, I can't understand that acquittal. If he knew what the fraud was, he should have been convicted.
Did you do many trials?
Did I what?
Did you work in many trials?
No, I did not. In fact, the only actual trial I can think of was one other incident, and that was the only one where we went to court, we had of what they call hearings. We would try to stop a fraud, and you'd go to court, you charge the individuals with engaging in a fraud, and then you'd ask the court to enjoin them. Enjoin means to issue an order saying, stop doing that.
Well, I think you got some good acting experience in your courts. I think you must have gotten some good acting experience.
A bit.
As a lawyer, which carried over to the first time I knew you. You were a thespian here in Holly Creek.
Yes.
Well, how did you get to Holly Creek?
How did I get to, well, let me just see. Oh, well, I married, my second marriage was to a woman who lived just north of here in Georgetown Village, condominiums. And toward the end of her life, she developed an incapacity. Mental problem.
Alzheimer's, I believe.
We were looking for a place to house her, and she picked out a cottage across the street. And we were in the cottage, and we used to come over here to have breakfast and sometimes to some of the events. And my wife loved the people that she met here. We would come over to breakfast, every Sunday, and she just loved it. I liked it, too. So that's how we got to know Holly Creek.
And I don't know if you know, Jack, you have a reputation as a wonderful caregiver.
Well, thank you.
You took good care of your wife. Now, that cottage has a distinction of being the only one that doesn't have a...
basement.
A basement or the side. It's freestanding. It doesn't have
another... It's freestanding, yes.
And I also think that someone else has lived there, too. Priscilla and Howard Kirschbaum, I think they were there after that.
Yeah, there's someone who moved in after me, a man, and I'm trying to think of his name, that I knew that he moved in after I, and apparently while he was in there, some major problem occurred, like the water spilled, or so, but they had to close the building down and redo the building, and he and his wife moved across the street here. Now, whether they move back, it's open and functional now.
Mm-hmm. Was it flooding? Was it flooding?
I think
so. Problems they've been having this year?
I think it was flooding, yeah.
They've had lots of problems with flooding.
Oh, are they? I didn't know that. Well, of course, it's a low grade. Well, there's the water right outside. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that the spaces between their building and the building to the west of them, there's a water table right there. Right.
Well, there are other things that you did. In Thespians, I have to say, Jack, you always were good at putting in some of your own personality and your own words and your originality. But in addition to Thespians, there are a number of things that you contributed to while you were in those early days of your residency here. And one was the Writer's Journal.
Right.
You were a contributor. You're going to read some of those things.
I don't know if I was the editor or not, but I contributed, yes.
I think you were in charge of the group at one time.
I think so.
And then, Sandy, what were some of the other things that...
Well, he was president of the Residential Association. Weren't you president?
Who was this?
Were you president of our residential?
Oh, yes. I was the vice president and president of the Resident Association. Uh-huh. Right.
And you...
And also, I got... There's a woman who's here, and she still does it, is Jo Pruitt. And Joe had a group called Friends Visiting Friends, where somebody became, let's say, isolated or bedridden. Jane would go visit them. And she got me and one or two other people to join this group. And what we would do is we'd visit these people who either didn't have that many friends or didn't have access to get outside their quarters.
Yeah. Well, Joe
and Jane, I think, I'm pretty damn sure, She keeps it up, at least visiting one or two people still.
She does. She does a wonderful job getting volunteers to go and visit friends over there. Yeah.
You know, there's another thing. I think we've skipped over a few things that you've done, but another thing that was very visible to the people in the dining room, you were surrounded by lovely ladies.
Oh, yes. Thanks to Ben Casillas. I have a habit of using Ben's Spanish pronunciation of his name. He's Casillas.
Here, yeah.
In English, Ben. Yeah, Ben introduced me to his bevy of beauties.
I always thought of Jack and his harem.
You don't mind that, do you, Jack? No, I think you've done a wonderful job because you are a sensitive person, and we'll see that in some of your writings as you go along. But I think you understand how people alone enjoy, especially women, enjoy having a man to talk with and to be in conversation with around a table of eating, and you do such a beautiful job of that.
Well, you're a very kind person.
Mm-hmm.
Very
now,
thoughtful.
Do you have any opportunity like that now in Alpine? How is your living?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we have a group of 8 or 10 of us. I think that's a total of 10 considered the 10. And, of course, we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I'm just trying to, there's three men or four men, and the rest ladies. Yeah. Well, Norma is one of them who was there.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you'll be missing her.
What's that?
I know you'll be missing her when she's going to.
Norma's there. There's a guy named Don Boone, and he sits at that. I call him the head of the table.
Oh, really?
He doesn't say much, though. A very, very quiet guy. Very, very, very quiet. To myself now, I call him the Sphinx. You know, that's that Egyptian statue that doesn't talk.
It has a great presence.
Yeah.
He's a very bright man. He was a biochemist.
And then there's a guy, Hal. Well, Hal, it's a beautiful thing about Hal. He has a wife who is, she's down in Timbers. And I don't know exactly what the problems is, but like her hands are not that flexible and she's not that flexible. And he spends the whole day with her. After he comes and has breakfast with us. And then he spends the rest of the day
Would that be Cat and Stu?
What?
Would that be? Okay. Yes, what? They're very lovely people.
Would that be Stuart Haskins and Cat? Stuart Haskins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hal Haskins. Yeah. I can't think of what his wife's name is.
Cat.
What?
Cat.
Oh, it is. But he dedicates this day to her.
It's beautiful. Everything. The relationship is beautiful.
And he says she's improving.
She is, yeah. I visit assisted living often to see friends.
Oh, well, good.
I see Kat a lot.
And you've
and
seen,
Stuart. And
you've seen the improvement, too, haven't you, Sandy?
Excuse me?
You've seen the improvement.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. He is neat as a pin. And he eats, and he never spills anything. I always spill something. And every day I sit down and I say, I'm going to be, this morning it happened, I said, I'm going to be like Hal. But I spilled my coffee. But there isn't one day that I can sit down and say that I get up and there's not a smudge. But Hal, he seems to do it. Someday I'll do it. I'll sit down and I won't dirty the tablecloth.
You need to write a poetry about this. Put it in poetry.
You sound very normal.
We do want to take time now to have you read some of your writings that you have written in the journal and some that you've done outside the journal. So why don't you start with a section you have on those who have passed on.
Yeah. Well, in one of the journals I wrote about, they gave me space. Now, I just use what I call epigrammatic statements, that is short statements. No real life, entire life experience. The first guy that, as I said, in Brooklyn, it's a compliment that you're a character. And in other words, you've got a personality. And one of them was Ben Casillas. Ben was my next door roommate at Holly Creek on the third floor north. Born to a father from Mexico and a mother from southern Colorado, he was raised in Lafayette, Colorado. In the Navy, he was a radio man and became an electrician. After the war, he eventually formed his own electronics business. Now, Ben was a giver, and he often would visit residents in Timbers or assisted living. He knew the names of many residents, and he knew the names of almost all the staff. He was a prolific writer for the Writer's Journal. Ben loved traditional American music, so I would mail him ranchero music. He introduced me to his circle of female bevy of beauties, and I ate with them in the bistro. Toward the end of his life, he scripted a sea chanty, which he entitled Aboard the Holly Creek Ship, the SS Bistro. The crew was a lawyer, Kelly, a medicine man, Brad Darley, and an engineer, Dunlap, and a lamplighter, Casillas.
I just want to say something about Ben, because he had told all of us how shy he was as a young person growing up. He would often cross the street so he didn't have to greet anybody. And then something happened when he came to Holly Creek. It was all undone, and he became everybody's friend. I don't know if he's told you that story, but he was quite a different person.
Yeah, I had a similar experience to Ben when I was growing up, and it didn't really open up until a couple of years after law school. I used to cross, if I saw the neighbors sitting out, you know, the people used to sit out, he had a lot of front porches in Brooklyn. They'd sit out on their front porches, and I would cross the street so I didn't have to say hello to them.
Yeah, I think that must be.
In high school and college, I did that too.
That was part of our learning how to be sociable, I think.
Okay, the next guy is Bob Asher. Bob was a resident of Holly Creek in the Vistas. He was a former executive lawyer for ExxonMobil, a very high job in the legal profession. He was the autocrat at the breakfast table. Arriving in his wheelchair with an attached American flag. When he left, he said he was going to his limousine, but in fact, he was going to the business office to read the Wall Street Journal. He was quite the ladies' man, and before entering Holly Creek, he went to many cotillions. One of his dancing partners was a former Mrs. Coors, who he called Coors Light. One time, he inadvertently invited two women to the same dinner. Fortunately, the waiter was an intern with the Lakewood Police Department, and he kept the peace. Now, I penned a Valentine card to Bob and said that I was a secret admirer, and I wouldn't reveal my identity because I said if I did, like Icarus, I couldn't go too near to the sun or my wings would melt. And he believed it, and he kept prodding me as to who his secret admirer was. Another one is Jack Venti, the man of all trades. I give a shout out to Jack Venti. Jack and I were like brothers, and he introduced me to the early morning swimming. Jack was the jack of all trades around here.
We should note that when you come into the radio room, and Jack, you hadn't been in here for a while.
What's that?
You noticed a lot of Jack's work in the radio room.
All the artwork, all the graphics, all the advertisements. Like I'm looking at his sign on Wanderings, and he has a little man in a top hat dancing. That was Dick Gustafson, who really is one of the founders of the radio station. And then there was one, What's Up the Creek with Jane, and the Big Band Show, one of our programs. Yeah, his handiwork is here. Okay. Now, in addition to, as I said, people who have passed on that I remember, I also on occasion write what I call a verse. I don't call them poetry. People may call them poetry. And have a collection of what I call diversified versification.
And you have made a book.
And I have a couple of them.
Collection. You have a collection in a bound book here.
Yeah.
Of all your work. It's just beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I forget who, some Holly Creek person here put them together, did the graphics to put them together in like an old English script. Okay. Here's one of them. Embarrassed? Don't be. We start our lives with the doctor wiping embarrassment from our bottoms. And we spend the rest of our lives wiping embarrassment from our faces. Pride looks at it and tells us it is there inappropriately. Someone else put it there. Someone else did it, not me. Passivity looks at it and tells us that all is futility. Humility looks at it and tells us that it is there to prevent idolatry. Embarrassed? Don't be. Now here's one that's a bit of a spiritual tent to it. St. Francis, dance with us. St. Francis, dance with us, for we yearn to learn the steps of your heartbeat. Guide us through life. Guide us through strife. Twirl us in time to your eternal rhyme. It is in sharing that we may bear the fears and tears. And so that compassion may be in fashion and go about and prance, St. Francis, teach us your dance.
Jack, I think don't go on yet because that's just tell us how you were inspired by that.
All right.
It's
now here's what I hear. Here's what I. This is the final one. So I call this the Ave. That's not what I call it, but what it is the Ave and Atque, Latin for hail and farewell.
But we're not ready to hear that one yet.
What?
We have a few more minutes.
Oh, okay.
I want to know more about how you were inspired to write these things.
I call this one Amen. O Lord, don't give me talents, give me the balance of wisdom. O Lord, don't give me freedom, give me the truth that makes me free. O Lord, don't give me riches, give me the richness of friends. O Lord, don't give me life, give me life without end. Amen.
And there we finish.
What?
And there we finish.
Okay.
Jack, you have a lot more that we could be doing, we could be listening to. But I like that one especially much. And
why? What is it about it that catches your fancy?
It tells me a little bit about you, how sensitive you are. Was there any particular event in your life that... It's all a total of what you learned through your living that inspires you with this kind of writing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I said something the other day. There were two boys that came by, and they were doing an internship for Creighton on physical therapy. And I had to say goodbye to them here this week. And they reminded me of the fact that the beautiful thing about being is knowing and talking to another person is you catch their spirit, their creativity, their individuality. And I said I did that with each one of these young men. And that's the way I feel about when you get to know people, that it's a gift. God has created them, and they have a special gift that they can give to you. And when you get to know that gift, it's enriching.
You've been given that gift.
I think everyone has a gift.
They do.
Everybody.
Some of them hide it. No, I do. It makes me think about a lady that she was our landlady, and my God, she was angry and a mean person. She lived upstairs over us. She used to throw water down on the back. We were sitting on the back porch, and she'd go out on her top porch and throw water down on us.
I can't believe
now,
that.
Now, that lady, yeah. This was after coming back from church, by the way. She went to Mass.
She went
to Mass every day. And when she'd come back from Mass, if she saw us, she was from Ireland. She saw the whole range of curses, you know, cursing and everything. Now, that's a person. I can't tell you today if she has a spirit. I'm sure she does. But I couldn't see a good thing about her.
Well, she's kept it hidden.
Yeah.
There must be something there.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I want to finish. In my neighborhood, there were a lot of people from Ireland, and they had an expression that Mary is a girl from home, or Jack is a boy from home. And I liked that. And they'd say, oh, well, you know John, he's one of the boys from home. Well, you know Mary, she's one of the girls from home.
And you knew what that
And it
meant.
Was a beautiful way of extending the acceptance to them and the putting your arm around them and hugging them. Oh, she's one of the girls from home.
One of your
Oh, he's one of the boys from home.
Well, with that, we have to say goodbye.
Sure.
But you brought us home, Jack, with you. Thank you so much. Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
And that's Wanderings for today. So long.
Goodbye. Yeah, I forget about that now and then. Yeah, I like that. He's one of the boys.
I love to